Welcome to the Destiny Church Podcast. We just want to take a second to thank you for listening today. We hope today's message encourages you to find a closer walk with the Lord. Here at Destiny Church, you can find real, relevant relationships. Let's join in on the message together and hear a word from the Lord.
Okay, check this out. You probably can't see this from all the way in the back, but this is directions on how to assemble one of those really funky children's playhouses. Why are you laughing? Because it's 110 pages. That's why you're laughing. Look at this. Yeah. And this is not like the first half is Spanish, the second half is Chinese and all that. This is like straight up English. Look at this. I mean, it's just, how many of you would have pieces left over? A handful of screws, a couple nuts and bolts, some windows, some 2x4s, some planking. I mean, this is not like a super big one, but it's a decent one. It's a nice one. And you can see in the background of today's sermon slide a replica of this. And I don't know, you probably have to have some friends over to help you. And you might get it done in a weekend or a week or so. But imagine that all the lumber and the slide and the swings and all the plastic, everything arrived to the house for your three-year-old. No, not your three-year-old. Let's make him third grade at least, right? Third grade would be a great 10 years old to go play on this thing. Would be awesome. But then you hand them the directions and say, there you go, Junior. Good luck with that. You think it would be put together? Where's the problem? It's a human issue, not a directions issue, not a parts issue, right? Here's what I want to impress upon you today. You don't get anything that I'm going to tell you. I want you to burn this image in your head. And I want you to know that we're the church. God, it's the only plan that he has, by the way. God will save the world not through parachurch organizations, but through the church. He sent his son to die for the church. You know, God's relationship with us through Jesus is that the church is the bride of Christ, right? Come on, are you with me? But our relationship to each other is that we're the body of Christ. So there's the bride of Christ and the body of Christ. The bride of Christ is our relationship to Jesus. The body of Christ is our relationship to each other. Now watch this. Jesus came, gave his life. He laid down his life for the church, for the body, for us, for his bride. The church is the only plan. The church is the best plan. But unfortunately, he gave it to a bunch of third graders. He gave it to you and me to build. Well, he says, I will build my church. What we're supposed to do is to be the church. Now watch. When you don't like the church, you don't like yourself. When you don't like the church, you don't like yourself as a member of the body of Christ. I am pro-church with a pastor's heart, married to the church. It's the only plan. Listen, I'm all down for parachurch organizations and all the extra things that other church organizations, side para, extra on this side over there, those organizations that come up alongside the church. But at the end of the day, Jesus died for the church. The church is the plan. We're trying our best to assemble a perfect plan. Are you getting the picture here? So as long as you are breathing air and on this earth and you have skin wrapped around your bones, the church is not going to be a perfect place. Get over it. I dealt with someone recently and had another conversation very recently. This person was complaining about their pastor. This pastor is an amazing pastor. He has an evangelist heart. Now, if you know the language of this house, you realize that we see the anointings in people's lives and the gifts of people's lives as the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the shepherd, and the teacher, apest, all right? So he's primarily an evangelist, and this individual was just like, you know, every week he's given an altar call. And I get it, But you got to understand, it takes all of us to make this thing work. You do not have, I was talking to somebody this morning who also runs another ministry. And there's always an issue with people. And it's generally the people sitting on the sidelines that have all the criticism. Can I get an amen from you active folk? They're saying, listen, I love to preach to the church. I'm talking to you today, but I'm also talking via the internet and our live stream and everywhere else. This is a church message. It's a message about the church. It's a message about how awesome the church is if it would just get assembled correctly. Because the plan is perfect. All the parts are there. The problem is always in the human delivery system of the product of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? So that's what I'm going to talk a little bit about today. I'm not going to beat you up. I love you. I honestly, genuinely love you. Because if I didn't care, I would let the church, and I mean that corporately, I'd let the church just continue to be what, unfortunately, the American church today is. All right. You're not convinced yet. So we'll just move along. All right. We're talking about the church. So there's a couple of verses that come to mind right away. The first usage of the word church. The first worse usage of the word church in the Bible happens when Jesus says to his disciples, "Who do men say that I am?" And then that conversation unfolds at Caesarea Philippi. Jesus is there and the conversation is happening. And at the end of that, who is it? Peter pipes up in Matthew 16:18. Check this out. And Peter says, "You're the Christ," and so on and so forth. Then Jesus says in Matthew 16:18, "I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, my ecclesia, or my ecclesia." That's the Greek word, which means the called out ones, the religious congregation of the Christian community. I love during our conference a couple weeks ago that Pastor John King, a good friend of mine from Peoria, he said in the language of their house, they said they don't go to church, they go to worship. We are the church, but we come. I'm going to worship this morning. I'm not going to church because you can't go to church because you are the church. And this helps as you begin to communicate with your children and your grandchildren. "Oh, we're going to go to church." No, we're going to go worship because we are the church, Junior. We are the church. When we're together, we're supposed to be putting ourselves together as the body of Christ in relationship to the heavenly bridegroom because we are the bride of Christ. Amen? All right. So that's the church. But there's a verse that comes up immediately when you begin to talk about the church that most pastors use, most church leadership uses, because they use it to beat you up. You know, it's easy to lead by guilt, and I don't like doing that. I really fight against that. I don't like leading by guilt and that type of thing. I just want to give you the information and let you decide. My life is not, I'm not here to tell you what to believe. I'm here to help you learn how to figure out what you need to believe. I'll present to you what the Bible says, what the Word of God says. And you know what? The revelation that you get yourself is so much more powerful than one I try to shove down your throat. Amen. So check this out. We go to where? You should not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Doggone ya. Get your self to church every week. Don't forget the assembling of your, you know what I'm talking about? Have you heard it like that? Okay, that's in Hebrews, but it's actually in two parts. There's two verses. In verse 24, right before we hear that, it says this, "And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds." You didn't know that preceded that, did you? So the reason that we're supposed to hang out together is because I want to encourage you to be awesome. Then we get, verse 25, "not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing." And generally there's a period put there by the person who's trying to cajole you to come to church more often. But the rest of the sentence goes like this, "but encouraging one another." We're supposed to get together to encourage one another, to hang out, to have fun, to spur one another towards love and good deeds. Perhaps a bunch of imperfect people are trying to execute a perfect plan. We say, "Don't give up meeting together." But wait, the world is looking at us asking, "How come you don't do the rest of that? Encouraging one another, blessing one another, instead of yak, 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 yak about whoever." I mean, I can't tell you the number of times I sit with people and they got nothing good about say about somebody. Can you believe what they do? Can you? I can't believe that they do that with their kids. Oh, you know, I wouldn't do it like that. And I'm like, I don't say anything. I just let them run out of gas. And unfortunately, they have diarrhea of the mouth. Most of them, it just keeps coming. It just keeps coming out. I'm like, I got nothing to say. I can't fix you. I can't change you. You got an issue where you want to judge everybody. It's like third grade. It's like you want to judge everybody else so you look better. Is that the heart of that? So what else does the perfect plan say about the church? Well, in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, it says this. They devoted themselves, that's the church, that's the ecclesia, that's us believers. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, everybody say fellowship, breaking bread, come on now, and to prayer. Well, the teaching here, the growth track, fellowship, that's us hanging out, playing bingo, going to wherever, cop pizza, and you ladies doing teenagers and the kids, that's us, that's fellowship, that's koinonia, and prayer every week, whether it's during praise and worship time or at the end, or we're here to pray for you. This is an environment where someone says, how you doing? You go, well, you know, this, that, and the other thing. And they don't go, hey, going to pray for you. No, that's Christian code for I'm done with this conversation. Here, you say, hey, I got an issue. Well, man, let's pray about that. This is what we do, Acts 2:42. Now, what else about the church? What else is in the plan book as it relates to church leadership? It says this in 2 Timothy. This is great. Here's what Timothy says in chapter 4, verse 2. I'm supposed to preach the word, to be prepared in season and out of season, whenever, to correct and rebuke. A lot of pastors got the correct and rebuke part now. But wait a second, there's one other one. What else? Encourage. With what? Please be patient with that and with careful instruction. That's a good job description. Preach the word, be prepared and correct and rebuke, but do it with patience and love, and let's go forward. That's in the direction book. Does it always work that way? No, but in the book, that's how it's supposed to work. So who are you going to blame if it's not right? Come on now. That's right. Throw all those preachers out. They're not preaching the word. They're not doing it right. Okay, well, I haven't got to you yet, so just be patient. Huh? Right? How easy is it to say, he's not doing it right, she's not doing it right? Huh? No, the widget's supposed to go in the thingamajig, and the bobbit's supposed to touch the widget, and then the upright wall part number whatever, with the lock washer and the T-nut with the bolt and the lag screw. Right, it's so easy to tell everyone else that they're not doing it. So let's figure out what you guys are supposed to do. All right, so that's my job, to preach the word, correct, rebuke, encourage. Now, for the hearers, that's you, James 1:22. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Yeah, it was not real rousing amen there. Not it just wasn't. I didn't feel it coming back at me as much there. So what am I doing? I'm preaching the word. And I preach, correct, rebuke, and encourage. So I preach the word. That's what I'm doing right now. Correct. What am I supposed to correct? I'm supposed to correct when I don't see you doing what you're supposed to do. And rebuke. When am I supposed to rebuke? I'm supposed to rebuke when you don't do what it says. Amen. And I'm supposed to encourage you when you do what it says. All right. I spent a little time on the internet looking up $34,000 a year. Think about what you could do with $34,000 a year. $34,000 a year is what an OBGYN doctor pays for malpractice insurance. Wow. Yeah, I know. Isn't that crazy? $34,000 a year just for their malpractice insurance. A surgeon's about $22,000. Malpractice. Mal, the etymology, we know what practice is. That's what someone does. Mal, the prefix, means evil, ill, or wrong practice. If it's a malpractice, it's evil, ill, or wrong practice. I didn't insert the word evil. I looked up the etymology of the word malpractice, and there it says it's evil if it's malpractice. Evil, ill, and wrong practice. So, knowing that, and if I allow you to come here and to hear what the word says and not do it, I should be charged with pastoral malpractice. But because church leadership, pastors, are not sued, we continue to take the easy slope. We continue to take the path of least resistance. If you don't threaten me with a malpractice suit, I'm going to continue to do what's easy, and that is not challenge you, not correct you. I mean, you're here of your own free will. None of you have to be here. And you're about to be corrected and rebuked. What kind of crazy person does that? I'm supposed to win friends and influence people and, like, correct them and rebuke them? Yes, if they really love God and they want to grow and they want to mature, they shouldn't subject themselves to pastoral malpractice. Now, it's easy to go to a place where you're not corrected and rebuked and everything is just honky-dory and it's all good and you slippery slide, you know, just a bunch of greasy grace and all that kind of stuff. If I allow you to come and to hear but not do, that, listen now, that is anti-Bible. That's anti-God's direction, which makes it evil. It makes it ill. It makes it wrong. That's malpractice. Now, most people in America will know that Christianity has become a consumer thing. Church is, in the eyes of many, a place where you go to see people that you know, and you sit in rows, and you stare at the back of someone's head for 45 minutes. You come in right when worship starts, or right after it starts, or 10 minutes after it starts, or 20 minutes after it starts, and then you walk out without ever having a meaningful conversation with anybody? That's wrong. The church has wrongly assumed. Who's the church? Okay, all right, just remind you. If someone is greeting, if someone's stacking chairs, helping in the nursery or the youth group in children's church, serving coffee, that everybody somehow is using their gift. All the while, marriages struggle. There's feelings of isolation. Lives are not abundant as they should be, but just scraping by. And so the church is ruining people. Pastors, the church is ruining people by allowing them to be consumers and allowing them to remain consumers because the church is not training people to be servants. If I don't train you to be a servant, it was illustrated greatly during our graduation service here. You know, we have the growth track, which starts with encounter, level one, learn to live. And second level is learn to what? Lead. We say lead on purpose because it sounds a lot better than serve. But it really should be learn to serve. Because, I mean, golly, we all want to be leaders. Servant? No, I don't think I want to take that level. I don't take that course. No, learn to be. Yeah, guess what? When you sign to be a Christian, that is what you're learning to be. Because the greatest is the servant. We gather here today in this building not to be served. I know that is very controversial with some of you. Because you thought you came here just to consume something. Boy, I hope he's got a good word. Boy, I hope that worship service is rocking today. Whoever made those treats, I hope they're good this week. Hope that coffee's nice and hot. They better have my stuff. I better be able to sit in my seat. You know, this is my, you know. This is at the core of what it means to follow Jesus. When we come here on Monday mornings, tomorrow morning, we gather at 9 o'clock for several hours in the next room. We talk about what's going on with church, what's going on in the body. And we always debrief on Sunday morning. And I'll tell you what, it's refreshing to be with a bunch of young people when you evaluate a service, because I've been in other situations. Well, how was church yesterday? Oh, man, there was not a glitch anywhere. I mean, every light was on. Sound system was perfect. There was no feedback. Every song went perfect. Pastor preached for 29 minutes and 30 seconds. I mean, he was right under the wire. I mean, it was awesome. I mean, when you begin to judge a service by its order and its... Listen, I was taught in cemetery, to go, you know, a good service is one where there's no interruptions, where nothing bad, where nothing out of the ordinary happens. It's all very controlled. You're in charge of that service, Reverend. And so a very neat, orderly, tidy service is a good service. But I've noticed that whenever things get born, they get messy. When there's new life, things are messy. Anybody been in the delivery room of a baby? There's an order, but it ain't clean. It gets a little messy. It can be a little times. And that's okay. We've got to get ourselves to a place that we're not coming here just to consume. You know, this is just, hey, we're like going to the movies. Entertain me. You know, my seats, it's a little too hot in here. The chairs aren't really comfortable. The coffee's not what I want, blah, blah, blah. Well, tough nuts, really, for you, really. Really, really. Why don't you go worship under a tree in the middle of Africa somewhere where it's 110 degrees? There's no coffee. And the Muslims in the next village want to come kill you. Those are your brothers. Those are your sisters. I think you got it kind of easy here. And we got to watch how soft we get as the church. Right? I mean, Jesus never told people to go to church. He told the church to go to the people. Do you understand? This is how the body of Christ is supposed to work. We're all out there being the church. This is a gathering where we come to worship. But out there, you get to be the body of Christ. Well, I'm not an eye, I'm not an ear, I'm not a hand. Well, praise God, not everybody's an eyeball. Can you imagine just one big old eyeball rolling down the street? That would look ridiculous. We all have our gifts. We all have our anointings. We all have our talents. We all have our callings. Do that well to the glory of God. And you're being a good Christian, amen? Yeah. Praise the Lord. Church is not about having a killer sermon and a great worship set. And I understand the mentality, oh, we're church shopping. Yes, you're looking for a body to fellowship in. But unfortunately, in America, that's often code for what can you do for me? What can you do for me? Well, tell me about your children's ministry. Tell me about your nursery. Tell me about your outreach. Tell me about your education. Tell me about preaching. Tell me about your worship. What kind of worship? You know, Southern gospel? Oh, no, thank you. And then you watch a video of Chinese people sitting in the basement of some house somewhere with one raw light bulb clapping, like acting like they're clapping and mouthing words to songs for fear they would be heard. And you don't like that particular song? How about you find a place where your gifts can be used? How about you find I can help there. I can serve there. I can do that. I can be a part of that. Not like, gimme, 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 gimme. Oh, I'm not getting fed. I would like to just give you the right hand of love and patience. Just tell you, you know. Listen, if what I give you on a Sunday morning is supposed to sustain you for a week, try eating one meal a week and see how strong you are once a week. How about you get in the Word? How about you have some fellowship? How about you hang out in a connect group? How about you get a part of a little education and learning something? How about you go serve somebody somewhere? Really, it's about what was happening with these growth track graduates this morning, learning to serve, loving Jesus well, loving each other well, teaching each other to love well. We pray together, we study together, we fellowship, we eat, hang out, learn to serve. See, that's when our times of worship become excellent, because Jesus is the center of what we're doing then, being led by the Spirit. We miss out on what the church is supposed to be all about if what we consider here on Sunday mornings is just a hybrid of some sort of sin management self-help group. Let's just all be good moral people. Is that really what we're here for? Just to be good moral people? That's a byproduct, I think, of putting the horse in front of the cart, which is love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor. Love one another. Amen. I mean, forgiving, I don't think it's talked about enough in the church. You got anger, unforgiveness towards somebody, you got to get rid of that. You will stunt your growth with unforgiveness in your heart toward anybody. Just forget about it. Well, I could never give them forgiveness. Give them? You're not giving them forgiveness. What you're doing when somebody has wronged you and you forgive them is you cut the cord that ties your heart of anger towards that. And what you're doing is you're giving yourself the gift of freedom when you cut that. It's not anything you're giving them. You're not giving them forgiveness. Technically, you know, we can parse words, but the result is that you're severing the connection between them and that action and your heart, and then your heart can begin to heal. They're not continuing to suck life from you as you think about it. You wake up and you bust a sweat. You first just in the morning, just thinking about them. Now oh man, if I had a chance, I'll tell you what, I know somebody. I know somebody that knows somebody that could put the hurt on them. I know it. You know how I know that is something we think? Because I think it. Because I would never want to get busted doing it, but I know somebody that could do that. You know, we all know somebody. Listen, you got to just cut the cord. You got to cut that chain that binds you to them. That's a gift. Forgiveness is a gift you give yourself. Then you're free. It's like, man, that doesn't even affect me anymore. Whew, thank you, Lord. The church is doing her job when we manifest her in all of her glory. We advance, watch this, we advance the kingdom, we proclaim his love, we welcome the lost, we comfort the afflicted, and we teach the truth. That's what we should do. You know how I know that? It's because those are the five gifts, those are the five anointings. We got to advance the kingdom. That's the apostle. We have to proclaim his love. That's the prophet. We have to welcome the lost. That's the evangelist. We have to comfort the afflicted. That's the pastor. And we have to teach the truth. That's the teacher. We're not doing that. We're really not the church. Oh, we're the church. We're the church. Yeah, well, you know, we sing a song. We take an offering and he preaches. No, if you're not doing those five things, you're not really functioning as a living organism called the church. I know, because that's what the plan says. Do we always do it perfect? No. Why? Because we're humans. But we do have the plan to model ourselves after. So when we reflect the heart of Jesus to our neighbors, to our neighborhood, to our city, which I think, I'm really believing God this next year, even in the next few months, to really do some things to impact our city even in a larger scale. Because if this is all we do, if this is what you think the church is, that's really pretty anemic. It's really not what we're supposed to be about, right? We should be making a change in our city. So the last two verses, and I'll let you go home and think about it. Two last verses. The word says this. As I've talked about the instruction manual, what we're supposed to be doing, what you're supposed to be doing, what I'm supposed to be doing, what the perfect play set called the church is supposed to look like, two final verses. 1 Peter 3:15. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who gives you the reason, and to give a reason, rather, for the hope that you have. In other words, you got to be ready to give a testimony at the drop of a hat. If I were to pull a Phil Donahue, oh boy, that's a who? If I were to pull a Jerry Springer, no, that may not be a good one either. If I were to grab a microphone and come out and say, what's God been talking to you this week? And you'd go, humana, 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 humana. That's not right. You need to be able to say, give me that microphone. Let me tell you what I've been seeking God on this week. I've been praying about this, and I've been working on God, and this has been my devotions, and I've been praying on this, and I've been reading this, I've been listening to this, and let me tell you, this is a fresh word in my heart, and then I have to take the microphone back from you. That's how it should be if you don't have a consumer mentality. You mean every week when I come in the door, I got to be ready? Could be. Maybe next week is your week. Maybe I come off this platform next week and start shoving a microphone up in somebody's face. Right now, half of you decided you ain't going to be here next week. I realize that. Because of this verse right here, 1 Corinthians, verse 14, 26. I think we have it at the bottom of the sermon slide as well. Watch. What then shall we say, brothers, sisters? When we come together, like right here, everyone should have a hymn, a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue or an interpretation. All of these must be done for the strengthening, for the correct assembling of the body and the bride of Christ. Stand with me, please. So what that means then, as I continue to preach, I just had you stand because he started playing and it's worked out nice that way. What it means then is this: contributing and participating. Those are action verbs for you today. This is your altar call. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus, today is the day. We're going to open up the altars at the end, and the connect groups will be down here, and you can come and you can say, "Man, I really, it's time for me to get right with God." We will pray with you. But for those of you who already have a relationship with God, there's two words I'm leaving with you: contributing and participating. And you don't have to come down here, but what you have to do is say to yourself, how am I contributing? Am I contributing? My time, my talent, my treasure. Is my life invested in the body of Christ? Well, I have this parachurch and that parachurch. Listen, I'm all down for parachurch organizations. Not anti any parachurch organization, but I'm telling you, you've got to have your involvement in the body of Christ. Whether it's Destiny Church, whatever your home church is, those of you watching online, I'll tell you what, it could really be a problem. I mean, you could put your pastor in like cardiac arrest, but you go up to him or her and you say, how can I help? And after you pick them up off the floor, because a lot of people don't want the answer, which is, hey, why don't you be in charge of setting up tables and chairs for the next month? No, I want to be in the bright lights. No, you don't. No, you don't. The greatest is a servant. How can I help, Pastor? How can I be involved? Is there something I can do? And listen, if y'all said you wanted to be a greeter, I'd have to tell some of you no, because we can't have 300 greeters at the door. Can you imagine how scary that would be for a person to come in the church? Hello, 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 hello. How are you? How are you? How are you? Hello, hello, hello. Would that be fun? Like next week we all stand at the door. Can't do that. That's everybody being an eyeball. It doesn't work. But you're the one that says, hey, come on, what's your name? How are you? And greeting time, you don't stay on your blessed assurance. You get up and you move around and you shake hands. And you don't go to the seven people that you know that you talked to this week already. You go find some face that you don't know. And you say, hey, man, how are you? What's your name? Because I really think the church should be the friendliest place in church. The friendliest place in town, rather. Not coming in 30 minutes late, singing a song about Jesus and hearing me preach. So you have no intention then of activating whatever it is that is said in this pulpit. You're just a consumer. Can I tell you something else? This is scary. It's scary. But I had a professor in school tell me once, it's better for people that aren't going to do what you preach on a Sunday, it's better for them not even to come to church, because when they come and they constantly hear what they're supposed to be doing and they don't do it and you don't correct them, their heart gets seared, their heart gets hard, and it gets even harder for the Word of God to penetrate their life. And I'm here today to tell you, I'm willing, if you'll hear me, to correct you and say, come on, man, get here, get involved. First song, enter in, worship God. We shouldn't be flipping the lights during coffee time. Get your down. No, man, come on, let's go, man. We got 90 minutes to go for God. And how come we're, listen, I understand you haven't seen some of your friends, but there's people in this place that are dying to worship. Listen, I could talk about the church forever. I'm already a few minutes over, but I just want to let you know, the reason I talk like this is because I do love you. A knife does not get sharp until it rubs against something harder than itself. And I want you to be sharp. I want you to be able to endure the trials and the tribulations that are coming to the church today. It's not going to get easier. It's going to get more difficult. But it'll be a lot more fun. It'll be a lot more exciting. Not easier, but exciting. So I bless you this morning. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for the church. Thank you for designing a perfect playset with perfect directions on how this thing should be done. And Lord, with your grace and your help, we're doing what we can. We just need your wisdom, your Holy Spirit. We need your guidance so that that which is done in this place and through our lives as the week unfolds brings honor to you, brings glory to you, God, so that the world might see the love and the encouragement amongst brothers and sisters, not biting and bickering and backbiting, but loving genuinely and overlooking faults because we have a Savior who overlooked ours. We love you this morning. We bless you. Connect group leaders, if you want to come on down front, we want to give everyone an opportunity to receive prayer this morning. If you didn't during our worship time this morning, if you need prayer for anything, we're here to bless you, to minister to you, to stand with you in faith, believing God for your miracle in the name of Jesus. So you can come on down now if you'd like to. Otherwise, God bless you. Have an amazing week serving Jesus. Amen. Amen.
You've been listening to the Destiny Church Podcast. Our prayer is that today you are encouraged by the word that you heard from the Lord. If you have any questions or would like prayer, please connect with us at destiny217.org. We're on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram as well, where you can find all of our events and things happening around the church. Thank you for listening to the Destiny Church Podcast, where you can find real, relevant relationships.